Okay, we're starting here on the top of Daf Lamed Amud Aleph with the Mishnah. The next four Mishnayot, which are on the Amud today, all are constructed in the same way. So, what the background that we're going to give is that there are three brothers over here, Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, who share a common father. Reuven and Shimon are married to sisters. We'll say, for instance, Reuven is married to Rachel, Shimon is married to Leah. And Levi is also married, but he's married to a woman that has no relationship to Rachel and Leah. Let's say Levi is married to Chana. So in every one of these scenarios, you have two brothers married to two sisters, and they're known in the Mishnayot as Bala Chayot. And then there is a third brother, who's known as the Bala Nachrit, because he's married to a woman who is independent of the other two women. Levi is married to Chana. So that's the scenario in each of these four Mishnayot. The Mishnayot are going to take different permutations of who passed away and who married whom and what happened in order to give us the halachos. So the first one is Shlosh Achim, Shnai Mehem Nisuin Shtei Achayot, Ve'achad Nasui Nachrit. So that's the background information. Then, Meit Echad Mibalei Achayot. So one of the brothers married to one of the sisters passes away. So let's assume here that it is Reuven that passes away now, and Rachel is available for Yibum. Well, she's really only available for Yibum to Levi, because as far as Shimon is concerned, she is Achot Ishto. Therefore, Vikanas Nasui Nachrit et Ishto. Levi, who's married to the woman, has nothing to do with Rachel and Leah. He then performs Yibum with this woman. So now Levi is married to both Chana and Rachel. Umeit. And then Levi passes away. Levi, who now has performed Yibum with Rachel and was married to Chana, he dies. Harishona. Again, the Rishona over here is used differently than it's used in the next Mishnah. Tosafa brings an alternative Girsa which tries to reconcile them, but Rashi says the Rishona is Rishona lefnifila, meaning that this is the first one to become a Yivama. First one to become a Yivama here was Rachel, the wife of Reuven. She's Yotzah Mishum Achot Isha. She goes out because Shimon is married to her sister. Shimon's the only remaining brother that can perform Yibum over here. She is dismissed because she's Achot Isha, and therefore there is no Yibum. She is an Erva to Shimon. Ushnia Chana, who is the original wife of Levi, Mishum Tarata. She's Tarata Erva, and therefore she is released. Asa Ba Mamar. Here becomes more complex. Instead of Levi marrying Rachel over here, he performed Ma'amar with Rachel. So, Reuven passed away, that same scenario, and his wife Rachel is now available for Yibum. Levi, who's married to Chana, performs Ma'amar with Rachel, Umeit, and then he dies. Then, Nachrit, Choletzet Velo Mityabemet. The Nachrit, Chana, is the only one where we can do anything with her. As far as Rachel is concerned, she is released, Mimonavshach. Either way, she's released. Whether she's still the wife of Reuven and the Yibum was never performed with her, she can't perform Yibum with Shimon because Shimon is married to her sister. Even if she was married to Levi and the Mamar makes her married to Levi, it still doesn't matter because she can't get married to Shimon because Shimon is married to her sister. So she's a Achot Isha from both sides. So as far as Rachel is concerned, there's nothing to discuss. The question is for Chana. Because Chana, in terms of being married to Levi, if Levi was not married to Rachel, he was not successful in performing Yibum with that Mamar, then Chana is really available to Shimon at this time because she was not Sarat Achot Ishto, not Sarat Ha'erva. On the other hand, if Levi is successful or was successful at performing Yibum with Rachel, then she is Sarat Ha'erva. For that reason, we only allow her to perform Chalitza and not Yibum. No Yibum because maybe Levi really was married to Rachel and she's Sarat Ha'erva. We make her perform Chalitza because maybe he wasn't married to Rachel and she is available to Shimon and she needs to be released to the Shuk. So we say, yes, Chalitza, no, Yibum.
That's because Mamar.
Right, so the question is what you think Mamar is, right? We discussed yesterday's daf, the different opinions as to how strong Mamar is. And there are different views of Mamar. We see that there's a view within Beit Shammai that Mamar is Koneh. We have a view within Rabbi Shimon early on, which is the Safek, whether it's Koneh or not Koneh Legamre. And we have the Shitat HaChachamim, where Mamar sits in this in-between stage, this twilight zone of yes and no. It has a partial kinyan. And we saw yesterday, even within Beit Shammai, we saw Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Ashi, in the name of Rabbi Elazar, that even according to Beit Shammai, maybe it's not a kinyan gamur. It has powers in certain instances, but doesn't have full-fledged kinyan. So Mamar has different shades to it, depending on whose opinion. And for each of those opinions, you can explain this Mishnah, as this Mamar generates a certain level of safek over here, and that's why she performs chalitza, not ibum. Taima davad ba Mamar. So the Mishnah gives two examples over here. One example is where he's fully married to her. The second example is where he performs Mamar with her. What it doesn't do is, halo avad ba Mamar. What about in the instance where he doesn't perform Mamar with her? So wait, what do you mean? If she doesn't perform Mamar with her, why is there any question over here? He was never married to Rachel, and therefore Rachel is still coming from Reuven. Rachel is dismissed because either way, Shimon is married to her sister, and then Chanash should be available to perform Yibum or Chalitza with Shimon. So why do you even worry in the case that there's no Mamar? So the Gemara says, Halavar Bamar Nachrit Yivume Nami Abmo. That means that if the situation was there was no Mamar, Chana now would be available to Shimon because Levi passed away. She was the wife of Levi. And now she's available to have Yibum performed by Shimon. So Rav Nachman, Zoto Merit, you would conclude from this, Ein Zika. There is no Zika, Vafilu Bechad Acha. And here when there's only one brother, the only remaining brothers here are Shimon and Levi. And when Levi passes away, there's only one brother who can perform Yibum. And the same was true when Reuven passed away. When Reuven passed away, there was only one brother that could perform Yibum because Shimon was out of the picture because he's married to the sister. So the only one who could perform Yibum at that time was Levi. And despite the fact that he was a directed Yabam, we'll call it a directed Yabam because he's the only one who can perform Yibum, nevertheless, there is no Zika. Because if you thought there was a Zika, then you would have said, she is Tarot Achot Ishto B'Zika. That should have caused at least some problem for Chana. The fact that we're saying now Chana is free and clear to perform either Yibum or Chalitza with Shimon means that Rachel had no bearing on her. Why did she have no bearing on her? She was at least Bzika to Levi because when Reuven passed away, Shimon cannot deal with her because he's married to her sister. Only one who can deal with her is Levi. So if she is Zakuk for Levi, meaning that she's directed and that's the where she should end up with Levi, Levi's got to deal with her, then that should have some impact on Chana because of the Zika. The fact that it does not have any impact on her shows you that Ein Zika Afilu Bechad Acha. Even when there's only one brother that's in the party to perform Yibum over here, there still is no Zika. Because had there been Zika, then Chana would have been Naseh Zu Tzarata B'Zika. She would have been a Tzara B'Zika and would have been problematic. That's Rav Nachman's conclusion. You need to remember Rav Nachman's conclusion because it will come up again in the Gemara and we will spend a lot of time on it. Next Mishnah. Shlosha Achim. Shnai Mehen Nisuin Shtei Achayot V'Chad Nisuin Achrit. Again, the exact same case again. Reuven Shimon Levi. Reuven and Shimon are married to sisters Rachel and Leah. And Levi is married to a third woman, Chana. Meit hanasui nachrit. In this scenario, Levi passes away. Then, v'kanas echad mibala echayot et ishto. And then, one of the brothers that's married to these two sisters marries the wife of Levi. So let's say in this case where Levi passes away, and Reuven performs Yibum with Levi's wife. So now, Reuven is married to both Rachel and to Chana, and Shimon is married to Leah. Umate. And then Reuven dies. Over here, Harishona, I told you this is different than the Rishona in the first case. Harishona yotzeit mishum achotisha. Rishona here is not the Rishona for Yibum, but the Rishona was his original wife. So here, the original wife, Rachel, is released because she is achotishto. Now that Reuven passed away, Shimon, who's married to her sister Leah, she's released because of achotishto. Ushnia, the second one, meaning Chana, his second wife, who he took after Levi passed away, she is released mishum tzarata. She's released because she's the tzarot achot ishto. Now, again, here's the other permutation, asaba mamar. Okay, in the case where he married her fully and was konsa, there we don't have any questions about what the loch is. But now all of a sudden, instead of Reuven successfully marrying Chana, he performs mamar with Chana, umeit, and then he dies before he is konei sota. Then again, nachrit, Chana is choletzet velo mityabemet. Again, Rachel goes free without anything, is released because she's achot ishto, and she was fully married to Reuven, and then when she falls to Shimon, of course she's released. The only question is with Chana. Chana over here, who maybe is married to Reuven, maybe is still here because of Levi. If she's here because of Levi, because she never really got married to Reuven, then technically Shimon could be miyabem her, and for that reason she needs to be released, that's why she needs chalitza. On the other hand, if she did become the wife of Reuven through the Ma'amar, then she's a tzara to Rachel, and she would have been released without anything. For that reason, she can only perform chalitza and no yibum. Gemara says, Hatul Amali. Why do I need this Mishnah? This Mishnah is basically identical to the first Mishnah. That's what it says. Hainuach. It's the same as the first Mishnah. Hashto umahatom. In the first Mishnah, dachot isha havyat tzara linachrit. Over there, you might have had a havamina. Why? Because in the first case, the first Mishnah, then Rachel, who was Reuben's wife and fell to Levi, she was the co-wife to Chana, who had the full marriage to Levi. If over there I said, I married Nachrit Asura, in that case I say that Chana cannot have Yibum performed by Shimon, Hocho, over here, the Nachrit have Yetzara L'Achot Isha, over here where the Achot Isha is the one that's really married to Reuven, where the Erva is full-fledged Erva, and the Nachrit is possibly Yetzara because of the Ma'amar, but she is the outsider. She's the one coming in, she becomes secondary to the primary wife that was there beforehand, Lokol Shekain, that over there she cannot marry Shimon. So in an instance where the full-fledged wife is the Nachrit, and the Erva, we're questioning whether she married, yet the Nachrit is pushed out of the picture, she can only do Chalitza and Yibum. In a case where the Erva is the full-fledged wife, and the Nachrit is the questionable marriage over here, certainly in that case she's going to be bounced out, she's going to have to do Chalitza and not Yibum. So Gemara says, the reason is, Tana Hach, Tana Bereisha. The Tana put the second Mishnah, the Mishnah that we just read, first. That was the Mishnah that he taught first. Vehach, Chazil Hetera. Visharya. The first Mishnah, he did not write at all, because he actually thought that it may be Mutar. Like we're saying, that's a greater Chiddush. The first Mishnah is the greater Chiddush. And he actually thought in that case, maybe Chana could perform Yibum with Shimon, because all that Rachel had here was Ma'amar with Levi. And because of that, Chana is actually Muteret to perform Yibum with Levi. V'hadar chazili sura. And then he realized that maybe that's not right, and she really is still a surah, and she can only perform chalitza not Yibum. V'aydi dechavivalei aktama. Since he changed his halacha there, and that halacha was something that came to him after some investigation, he liked that better. So he put the first Mishnah first. Then, umishnah lo zaza mim koma, the second Mishnah, which was the original Mishnah, doesn't leave. So the second Mishnah here was the original Mishnah. And then the first Mishnah, at first he thought the answer would be not choletzet v'lo mityabemet, but o choletzet o mityabemet. He thought that would be the halacha. Then he realized that that was incorrect. And the halacha is choletzet v'lo mityabemet. Well, in that case, once you've taught that first Mishnah, the second Mishnah becomes unnecessary. But since the second Mishnah was already in place, and he was only adding the first Mishnah later, therefore he left the second Mishnah in place. Plus, the first Mishnah he put first because of the chiddush inside of it. Because of something that he originally thought was muteret, and now he says is asura. So that explains it. You're right. There is a redundancy here, an unnecessary redundancy over here. But that has to do with the chronological order of how these Mishnayot were put into effect. The second Mishnah was first. The first Mishnah was second. But the first Mishnah was put first, even though it was second, because of the chiddush that is found inside of it. Now the third Mishnah. Shlosha Achim. Again, same case again, which is Reuben and Shimon married to Rachel and Leah, Levi married to Chana. Mate echad mi balei achayot. Again, one of the brothers married to these sisters passes away. So again, we'll use the fact that Reuben passed away, and his wife Rachel is now available for Yibum. Bekanas nasui nachrit et ishto. And of course, the only one who could perform Yibum over here is Levi, and that's what he does. Levi goes ahead and forms Yibum with her. So now you have Levi married to Chana, his original wife, and Rachel, the wife of Reuben, where he would perform Yibum with, and Shimon is married to Leah. Umeita ishto shel sheni. Then Shimon's wife Leah passes away. V'achar kach meit nasui nachrit. And then Levi passes away. So at this point, Shimon is married to no one. And Levi is now leaving two women. He's leaving Chana and Rachel. Rachel, who used to be Achot Ishto, Harizu Asura Alav Olamit. This Rachel is Asura to him because she was Achot Ishto. Hov Nesra Alav Sha'achat. Because there was a time when she was Asura to him, that becomes permanent. And even though now, Achot Ishto doesn't apply. Because the Isser Erva of Aschot Isha is only while she is alive, when his wife is alive. If his wife passes away, then there is no restriction of Aschot Isha. So looking at it from right now, if I look at it in the current time, Shimon technically could marry Rachel. Because even though she was Aschot Ishto, his Isha, his wife, passed away. She's out of the picture. So at this point, Shimon could perform Yibum with Rachel. The problem is that Rachel already fell to possibility of Yibum from Reuven. And when she fell from Reuven, Shimon was precluded from performing Yibum with her because his wife was still alive at that time. Since at that moment, Rachel was Asura to Shimon, she remains in that status of Isur, Legamre, for the rest of her life, even though her sister might pass away. Despite the fact that her sister passed away, since she was Eshet Ach, Shalob Makom Yibum at one time, she remains with that status, because she was never Hutra, and since she was never Hutra, she now remains Eshet Ach, and he cannot marry her, despite the fact that his wife has passed away. So that's the Chiddush of this Mishnah, that even though at this point, Rachel should be Muteret to Shimon, nevertheless, she is not because of what happened previously, that Reuven passed away and left Rachel to Shimon when he couldn't marry her. That leaves her Asura Olamit. And because of that, then Chana is also dismissed. Since Rachel is dismissed because of an Erva, then Chana becomes an Tzarata Erva, and she's also released over here. All right, so now, Amar Rav Yehuda Marav. Rav Yehuda says, Ko Yivama, Sheina Nikorea Ba B'Shat Nefila, Yivama Yivo Alea. Any Yivama, at the time that she becomes available for Yibum, you can't say about her, Yivama Yivola, that the Yabam can perform Yibum with her. She becomes like a wife to a brother who has children, who is an Erva, Ve'asura, and she remains Asura. Now, the Gemara asked Micah Mashmalan, what Rabbi Yehuda Rav said is basically what our Mishnah just said. Our Mishnah just said that if at a time when there was a possibility of Yibum, you could not perform Yibum because there was a problem of Erva, then that woman takes on the status of Eshet Ach, Sheishla Banim, and remains an Erva. That's what our Mishnah said. That's what Rabbi Yehuda Marav says. Yehuda Marav are Amoraim. Why do I need a Amora to teach me the same din that is found in the Mishnah? And that's what the Gemara wants to know here. Maika Mashmalan, Tanina, it's our Mishnah. Harzu Asura Lav Olamit. Hoven Asura Lav Sha'achat. As long as she was Asura for any moment, then she remains permanently Asura. That's what our Mishnah says. And that is seemingly what Amir Yehuda Marav is saying. So what is the Chiddush in the Amoraic statement that we don't already know from our Mishnah? We don't need an Amora to summarize the Mishnah for us. Where it says, Ma'udu Teimo. I would have thought, Ani Mile Heched Lo Ichazya Lo Benefila Rishona. That's only in an instance where, in the first falling, meaning when Reuven passed away, and Rachel became available the first time, that she was never Re'uya for Shimon. Aval Heched Ichazya Lo Benefila Rishona, Aima Tishtare. In that instance, let us say it is Muteret. So, in our scenario, what ended up happening was, Rachel was available for Yibo, and then Levi marries her. Levi marries her, and then only then does Shimon's wife pass away. So, when Reuven had passed away, and Rachel was available for Yibum the first time, Shimon had no possibility of performing Yibum with her, because she was a Surah the entire time, because he was married to her sister that entire time. What about a scenario in which, while she's waiting to perform Yibum, Shimon's wife Leah passes away? Nothing has happened so far. Rachel's just waiting to have Yibum perform with her. And in the interim, Shimon's wife passes away. So Shimon's wife all of a sudden passes away. Now there's no problem of Achot Ishto anymore for him. It started out being a problem of Achot Ishto, but then that problem of Achot Ishto was eliminated before Rachel ever had Yibum perform with her. So maybe in that instance, I would say, okay, because there was a point in time during that first session of Yibum, or that first time she was a Yivama, maybe she should remain Muteret now and not have this Yisur on her. Kamashman, that's what Rabbi Yehuda Marav comes to teach us. No, that even in that instance where she was Asura and then became Muteret, she still remains Asura because at the time of Nefila, at the time that she became a Yivama, she was Asura to Shimon, and that remains that way. It says, Hanami Tanina, that we also have a Mishnah about, which is, Shnei Achim Nisuim Shtei Achayot, Meit Echad Mehem. One of them passed away. V'chakach meita ishto shel sheni. So they have, you have two achim. This is a Mishnah upcoming. We haven't done yet. But you have two brothers married to two sisters. And one of them passes away. Then afterwards, meita ishto shel sheni. While she's waiting to perform Yibum over here, the wife of the other one passes away. The achot isha problem goes away because his wife passed away. Harizu asura alav olomit. Hov an esra alav sha'achat. Again, the Mishnah says the same thing again. Even during that first scenario where she became muteret to the brother, that Mishnah says asura olomit. So what do I need Amarit Amarav for? I have two Mishnayot telling me that information. Our Mishnah tells you an information where she was asura for the entire time she was a yamava the first time. And the Mishnah coming on Lamed Bet that says that she is asura olomit even if while she was reigning as a Yavama in the first session, she became Mutaret to Shimon, because Shimon's wife passed away and Achot Isha left. Nevertheless, Asura Olamit. So what's the Chedesh Amir Amarav? Mar says, Ma'u detei mahatum de'idcheila mehai beta legamrei. Now over there, it's because she was knocked out of that house entirely. Of al hocha do idcheila mehai beta legamrei, eim amigo dechazi lehai nasui nechrit chazi nami lehai. Kamash Malon, that we don't say that. In that scenario in Lamed Bet, you can see by the set up in the Mishnah, there are only two brothers. Two brothers, Reuben and Shimon, who are married to Rachel and Leah. Reuben passes away, now Rachel is available to Shimon. She can't perform Yibum over there because Shimon's married to her sister, it's Achot Ishto. But all of a sudden, Shimon's wife passes away. So you think, oh, maybe now he can perform Yibum with Rachel. There the Mishnah says, no go, because she was Asura. At the time of Nefilah, she was Asura, and that Issa remains permanently. So what the Gemara is suggesting over here is, but maybe over there it's only because there was one brother, Shimon. But in a case like our Mishnah, where there's a third brother, Levi, maybe, right, and Levi who can perform Yibum, maybe he can change the status for Shimon himself. So over here, again, we have a combination of that Mishnah and our Mishnah, which is, Reuben passes away, Rachel is now available for Yibum. Shimon can't perform Yibum with her because he's married to her sister, Leah. Levi can perform Yibum with her because he's married to Chana, who has no relationship. In the interim, Shimon's wife passes away. Before anybody does anything, Shimon's wife passes away. So now all of a sudden she becomes Muteret to Shimon. The Mishnah on Lamed Bet tells us, too bad, doesn't work. But in our scenario here, Levi can still perform Yibum. Maybe the fact that Levi can perform Yibum will also allow Shimon now to perform Yibum. It's amigo that she has the ability to perform Yibum with this family. Maybe that now brings Shimon back into the picture. So that's what, maybe that would have been your Havamina. Along comes Amar Yehuda Merav and says, Kamash Malan, that is not the case. All right. Now we move on to the next Mishnah, the fourth Mishnah. Again, the same scenario.
Is some type of Zika, student.
Doesn't matter whether Zika or no Zika. At the moment she became a Yivama, he couldn't marry her. Why? Because he was married to her sister. Independent of Zika. Because he's married to her sister. That's what Rabbi Yehuda Merav is saying. That ruins it for him forever. Doesn't matter what all the scenarios and all the great things you can create afterwards, the migos and everything like that has no impact here, because at the moment she became a Yivama, she was Asura. That's what our Mishnah says, that's what the Mishnah Lama Bet says, and that's what Amir Rav says. They're just all saying it in incremental steps of Chidushim that you would have thought, maybe it's different in this case, maybe it's different in this case. They all say the same thing. Since at the moment she became a Yivama, she was Asura, that remains permanently. Okay, now the fourth Mishnah, again, same scenario, which is, Shlosha achim, shnai mehim nesuim shtei achayot, Reuben and Shimon, married to Rachel and Leah, v'chad nesuin achrit, and Levi, who is married to Chana. Giresh echad mi bala achayot et ishto. In this instance, there's a divorce. Reuben divorces Rachel. So that's the start of the picture here. Reuben divorces Rachel. Then, umeit nesuin achrit, Levi passes away. Vikansa, Amigaresh, the Migaresh now takes her as a Yivama. Now either one of them could have married her as a Yivama because Chana has no relationship to either of the brothers. But what happened in this scenario is that Reuven, who divorced Rachel, was the one who took and was performed Yibum with Chana. So now you have Reuven married to Chana, and you have Shimon married to Leah. Then Umeit, he dies. Reuven dies now. So now we have Chana, who's now available to Shimon. What is the status over here? Because Chana technically has no relationship to Leah and never had anything to do with Rachel, because by the time she was with Reuven, Rachel was out of the picture. So that's what the Mishnah says. Zoi shamru, v'chulan shemetu, onit garshu, tzaritehem mutarot. This is what the first Mishnah said, that if one of the tzarot either dies or was divorced, she no longer has impact over here. Because she no longer has impact over here, when Reuven dies, Shimon is able to perform Yibum with Chana. Even though she technically was a tzara, she was a co-wife to Rachel, who's the sister of Leah, but since they were never co-wives together, therefore there's no problem here, and that's why it is Muteret. That's what our Mishnah says. The Gemara is now Middayek. Taima digiresh v'chakach met.
Right.
The only way this works is because Reuven first divorced his wife, and then only then did Levi die. Aval met had it been the other way around, that Levi passed away first. V'chakach giresh, and then Reuven performed his girushin asura. Then it would not work. That's the diok you made out of the Mishnah. The Mishnah has a very specific order. It says first Reuven divorced his wife, then only then did Levi pass away. Had it been the other way around, where first Levi passes away, and then Reuven divorced his wife, that would not have been the case. So now, there are two possible scenarios over here, where Levi predeceased Reuven divorcing Rachel. One scenario is where Reuven marries Chana, and then divorces Rachel. That's one scenario. Or the other scenario is, while Chana is in waiting to be a Yivama, he divorces Rachel. Those are the two possible scenarios over here, and as Rashi says, Bishlama Ilokansia, had he not married her, having miterat lezeh machmat zikat achiv arishon. If Reuven never marries her, then Shimon can take her as Yivama, because she never ever married Reuven, and she still has a connection to her original husband, Levi. So as far as Shimon is concerned, he is just...
as eligible as Reuven.
Right, he is eligible as Reuven, and he could have married Chana. If Reuven disappears from the picture now, he can marry her because she was Levi's wife. Nothing to do with Reuven, she can marry her. So therefore, Rashi says that's totally fine in that scenario. The question only is, about Mishakansa? Once he marries her, V'achshav zkuka lezeh mikoach bala erva, asura. But here, if he marries her then, again, V'afagav delaytet saratela b'zika. Even though, and Rashi says over here, Reuven divorced Rachel before he marries Chana. So in this scenario where Reuven divorces Rachel before he ever marries Chana, but Chana was already Yivama when he divorced Rachel. Levi dies first. Chana is now available for Yibum. And then Reuven divorces Rachel. After divorcing Rachel, he marries Chana and performs Yibum with her. That's what we're medayek from the Mishnah, that it won't work. That's a problem, because she was a co-wife bezika. Now, if she was simply just a co-wife bezika, Rashi says that's not enough because Shimon has an equal right to her. So if Reuven dies without ever doing anything, then Shimon can marry her because Reuven doesn't have sole rights to her. Shimon had just as equal rights to her from Levi. But once Reuven has married her, he basically consummates that zika. When he consummates that zika, he basically says that at one point in time, Rachel and Chana were his co-wives. Only bezika, but they were co-wives. And that causes a problem for Shimon. What do you conclude from that? Amar Ravashi, Zotomeret, Yezika. From here he would conclude there is Zika, Afilu betray Ache. Even though there are two brothers over here. Even though there's both Reuven and Shimon. In the end, when Reuven performs the Yibum, he directs the Zika towards him. And that Zika was strong enough then to say that they were co-wives to Reuven, even though Reuven got rid of Rachel before he ever married Chana. So where it says, Ul Ravashi Kasha Rav Nachman, I said you have to remember Rav Nachman for the first Mishnah, because in the first Mishnah, Rav Nachman was Mendaik, Ein Zika, Afilu Bechadacha, even with one brother. Over here, Rav Ashi, in the fourth Mishnah, is Mendaik, that there is Zika even with two brothers. So now you have, basically, a Machloket Amoraim as to how these Mishnayot work, or from their Diok from the Mishnayot, that you're going to have to reconcile. So the Rav Ashi Kasha Rav Nachman, Amalekha Rav Ashi, Huadin, that first Mishnah, you know why Rav Nachman was Midayik in that way? It was because there was Mamar in the Mishnah. His deal was, well, if he didn't perform Mamar, there would be no problem. That implies that there's no Zika. He says, no. Even if he didn't perform Mamar, there would have been a problem. So then why did the Mishnah mention Mamar? If Zika's enough, that's a much bigger Kiddush. Why mention Mamar? Because he says, the same thing would apply because there is Zika. Vaktani Mamar. Why did it write Mamar? Lafuke Beit Shammai. Comes to exclude the position of Beit Shammai, da amrei Mamar kone kinyan gamur. To say that, because if you think that the Mamar was kone kinyan gamur, then in that case there's no question that Chana is released without any problem because she's tarat erva. And then you wouldn't even need chalitza. The fact that the Mishnah requires chalitza is to come lafuke, the position of Beit Shammai. So Eno Chanami, the first Mishnah, also has Zika. And if it was just for Zika, we'd have the same question. We would say that Chana, now, what's her status? Because there was a Rachel floating around from Reuven. Reuven had passed away. His wife Rachel was now floating around. And Levi was going to perform Yibum with her. He never got around to it. He didn't perform Mamar. He did nothing. But he was the only brother that was available at that time because Shimon was married to Rachel's sister Leah. So since he's the only brother available, the Zika was directed towards him. What we're saying now, according to Rav Ashi, that Zika is strong enough to make her a co-wife to Chana. And therefore, when Levi passes away, Chana can only perform Chalitza and not Yibum because of this co-wife Bezika. So Rav Ashi says that the first Mishnah thinks co-wives Bezika are problematic. And this fourth Mishnah also thinks that co-wives Bezika are problematic. And now I've reconciled between the two. And both Mishnayot say there is Zika. I says, well, the Rav Nachman kasha the Rav Ashi. Rav Nachman, who says there is no Zika in the first Mishnah, has to deal with Rav Ashi in the fourth Mishnah, that was Medayik, that there is Zika. So what are you going to say? Just like Rav Ashi did in the first Mishnah, don't be Medayik, what you're saying. The same is true. Whether the Gerushin took place before Levi passed away, or whether the Gerushin took place after Levi passed away, there's no difference in the din. Tafilo mate, vachakach girish. Even after Levi passed away, then Ruvain performed the Gerushin, tzarutam muteret. Even in that case, the tzarah would be muteret. Ela zohi lemutei mai. Then what is zohi coming to exclude? You're telling me in all cases, there is a din that the tzarah is released. I mean that Chana is released in all cases because she was a co-wife to Rachel at one point in time. Well, if that's the din for everyone, then when you say Zohi, this is the case, this is in case implies there's a case where it's not that way. What's the case when it's not that way? So I'm going to say, the mute kanas v'chakach kiresh. That's what I said before. There are actually three scenarios over here. There's one scenario where Reuven divorces his wife, then Levi dies. Everybody agrees in that case that she is free and clear because the woman that was the problem, Rachel, was out of the picture before Chana ever became a Yevama. So in that scenario, everybody agrees when she marries Reuven and then Reuven passes away, that Shimon can be Miyabim her. Then there's another case. Another case is where Levi predeceases any action by Reuven. So Levi's passed away now. Here, you can have bifurcate the din. When does Reuven perform Gerushin with his wife Rachel? One possibility is he divorces Rachel, then performs Yibum with Chana, or the other way around. He can first perform Yibum with Chana, and then divorce Rachel. And what Rav Nachman is suggesting is, in the case where he first marries Chana, and then divorces Rachel, that's the scenario that we're coming to eliminate. That scenario, she is a co-wife. She definitely was a co-wife. Definitely. She was married at the same time to him. Oh, even though he divorced her before he ever passed away. That for sure is considered to be co-wives and would exempt her or release her and not allow her to marry Shimon. But the case where he divorces Rachel after Levi died, but before he performs Yibum with Chana, over there when he marries Chana, then she is also available to Shimon afterwards because there's no Zika. Since there's no Zika, there's no impact over here. The divorce took Rachel out of the picture. And since Chana was only his wife after Rachel was out of the picture, she's fine. There's no relationship between them because there's no Zika according to Rav Nachman. That's how Rav Nachman will explain the case. But that severely limits Rav Nachman's position now because of a machloket, going back to early in the Masechta now, between Rabbi Yirmiyah and Rova early in the Masechta. Early in the Masechta, we brought our first Mishnah on the Masechta versus the Mishnah here, our fourth Mishnah over here, which one of them suggests that Gerushin can only take place prior to the death of Levi, whereas our Mishnah, the first Mishnah of the Masechta said, doesn't matter when the Gerushin takes place, it is good, and it frees the other woman, and there's no problem of Erva anymore. So which one is it? Is it, doesn't matter when he divorces her, it's always fine? Or is it only when he divorces her prior to the death of Levi? So there we had two answers of how to reconcile it. One answer was, Tavra, Misha Shana Zu, Lo Shana Zu. Which is, there are two different authors to these Mishnayot, and the Mishnayot are actually different. They argue, and the Mishnayot argue. That was Rabbi Yirmiyah's position. On the other hand, Rava says, no, we can reconcile the Mishnayot, because Zu Vein Tarech Lomar Zu. It was a case where this Mishnah, and of course you don't even have to mention this second Mishnah. The first Mishnah has the biggest Kiddush, and okay, we mentioned this one as well. It's a lower Kiddush, but we mentioned it as well. But it was already covered by the first Mishnah, because the first Mishnah has the bigger Kiddush. What is the difference in the opinions of Rava and Rabbi Yirmiyah? As it really has to do with what generates the Yibum. According to Rava, Nifila, the death is what generates the Yibum. Therefore, if divorce is performed any time before Reuven dies, then it doesn't matter. Chana is now released, there's no Tzarat Erva, because Yibum only comes into the picture when Reuven dies. As long as he's rid himself of Rachel before that. He's performed Gerushim with her. Chana now is the only wife that is to Reuven. She's the only one available to Yivama. So there's no Tzarat Hayerva. On the other hand, Rabbi Yirmiyah believes Kiddushin HaRishonim. When you first get married, that's what generates the Yibum. From the moment of marriage, that generates the Yibum. So now Chana is currently married to Reuven. That marriage took place when Rachel was still there. That means at the moment that they became potential Yivamot, they were Tzarat HaErva, and therefore she's dismissed. And that's the difference in opinions of Rabbi Yirmiyah and Rava. That's from earlier in the Masechta. The difference in Afkamina between them will be if he divorces Rachel after he already married Chana, but before he passes away. Of course, before he passes away, but after he married Rachel. According to Rava, there's no Erva over here anymore, because at the time of death, there was only one wife, Chana. But according to Rabbi Yirmiyah, there was Tzarat HaErva, because at the moment of Kiddushin, they were Tzarot, and that's when the Yivum was created in potential. And therefore, there is a problem with Erva, and she will not be allowed to marry Shimon. So now, Rav Nachman's explanation of the Mishnah is limited to the opinion of Rabbi Yirmiyah. Because Rav Nachman just said to us, this Mishnah over here, the zoo comes with Mutei Mai. The zoo comes to exclude a case where he first married Chana, and then only divorced Rachel afterwards. That's a case where she's considered to be a co-wife to an Erva, and doesn't work. That's only true according to the opinion of Rabbi Yirmiyah, who says that the Kiddushin during, but according to Rava, it doesn't work. So what Rav Nachman basically just did by setting it up this way is limit himself to be in the opinion of Rabbi Yirmiyah and not in Rava. And that's what the Gemara is about to say, giving you all the background so it reads easier in the Gemara now, which is, Hanicha isavrla ki Rabbi Yirmiyah. It works well for Rav Nachman if he holds like Rabbi Yirmiyah. Damar tavra mishishana zu lo shana zu. That the first Mishnah in the Masechta and this Mishnah over here are authored by different individuals. V'hai tana savar mita mapelet. The first Mishnah believes that death is the trigger for produce Yibum. Whereas hai tana, our tana over here, savar nisuin arishonim mapilim. So over here, that's what generates it, and that's the answer. So zohi l'me'ute kanas ulusov gerish. And that's why over here, in the case where he first marries Chana, and then only then divorces Rachel, then that's what's excluded from here. He suffered like a Rava. If he holds like Rava, damar lo'olam chad tanuhu. That this is authored by the same Tano. There's no arguments over here. V'zu ain't tzarech l'mar zuk, Tani. And it's just, yeah, the bigger Chedesh was the first Mishnah, but okay, it's not necessary, but we wrote it anyway. Zohi l'mutei mai. What is it coming to exclude? Al-Korchachach ke Rabbi Yirmiyah Sfirile. It must be that Rav Nachman holds like Rabbi Yirmiyah. That must be the conclusion. He cannot hold like Rava, because otherwise he has nothing left to exclude in this case over here. Now, the Gemara backs up and says, Ulurova. Rava, who does Rava hold like over here? Does Rava hold like Rav Ashi, who says there is Zika? Or does he hold like Rav Nachman, who says there is no Zika? So the Gemara says, Ula Rava Hanicha Yisavala Ke Rav Ashi. It makes sense if Rava holds like Rav Ashi, because Zuhi Dim Ute Meit Belo Giresh. Because Zohi comes to a case where he dies without any Gerushin. Alright, that's the Girsa of Rashi. We're going to work with this Girsa right now. Ela Yisavala Ke Rav Nachman. If he holds like Rav Nachman, Zuhi Dim Ute Mai. What is this Zohi coming to exclude? If there is no Zika over here, then what possible case could he exclude? He thinks all cases of Gerushin are fine, because the only thing that's going to matter is at the time that Reuven dies, who's he married to? He's not married to Rachel at that point in time. Everything is free and clear. So by that fact, it would make sense. There's nothing to exclude. So therefore, it's clear that Rava doesn't hold of Rav Nachman. Because if he holds of Rav Nachman, the same one Rav Nachman can't hold of Rava, Rava can't hold of Rav Nachman. That means that Rava is limited to saying like Rav Ashi that there is Zika over here. So then what is Zulim Ute? What is the case that he's coming to exclude? So that's a Zuhi, the Mute, is the case, what they said, mate below Giresh. He died without any divorce. So what happened over here was a case where Levi passes away, Chana is now a Yevama. Reuven is going to perform Yibum with her, and then he dies. Before he does anything, he didn't divorce his wife, he didn't do anything, he dies. Now, as far as Shimon is concerned, we said in the earlier on, Rashi pointed out, Shimon should be able to marry this woman because she's only coming from Levi. But what about the Zika of Reuven? Zika of Reuven now might have caused the problem along the way. And that is what Rova is going to say, Zulimute. As soon as Levi died, Chana was available both to Reuven and Shimon. So now she has a zika to Reuven, a zika to Shimon. When Reuven passes away, that zika goes away. But she was tzarat ha'erva b'zika to Reuven, and that should invalidate her from marrying to Shimon. Now this is not, according to this, is not what Rav Ashi says. Rav Ashi says that in that case, and that's what Rashi said earlier, in that case, that would not be problematic at all. According to Rav Ashi, that's not problematic, but here Rova is saying that's problematic. So it turns out that Rova holds like Rav Ashi, but he doesn't exactly hold like Rav Ashi. He holds of Zika, but there will be a difference in opinion between Rova and Rav Ashi. This is the way that Rashi learns the Gemara. Rashi learns the Gemara that Rova is holding the Rav Ashi, there is Zika over here. But Rova and Rav Ashi actually argue about these cases, about when there is Zulu Me'ute Mai. What is the Me'ute over here? According to Rav Ashi, Zu is the Me'ute, a case where Reuven divorces Rachel after Chana is already Yevama. In that case, then Reuven marries Chana afterwards. The fact that he married her reinforces the original Zika, and the reinforcement of the original Zika makes Chana a Tzarat Erva B'Zika. That's Rav Ashi's opinion. Whereas Rova believes that even if he's not koneser, even if he did not marry her in this case, that is a problem of tzarat erva b'zika. Rav Ashi says only after that, when he divorced her and then marries Chana, that becomes tzarat erva b'zika. And obviously Rova will not agree in that case, because Rova believes nefila mapelet. So if he gets married to her and the time that he passes away, she has nothing to do with the original erva, because she's already divorced, there is no bearing here. So therefore, for Rova, it can only be in a case where there's just a zika and no marriage because of this problem of nefila mapelet. But had he not married her, there would be no tzarat erva b'zika. Rova says even there's a case of tzarat erva b'zika. So then Rashi says this, V'lo deyek lematnitin k'Rav Ashi. Rova does not say that the Mishnah is exactly like Rav Ashi. Damar ha-meit, v'chakach yiresh asura. That if he dies, and then Reuven divorces, asura, da Rova mita mapelet svirle. Because according to Rova, that doesn't do anything, because if he eventually marries Chana, then the only thing that matters is when Reuven dies. So then that's mita mapelet. Became into Gireh Sharia. Since he already divorced Rachel, doesn't matter when he divorced her, as long as he married her at some point, then Mita is Mapelet, and there's nothing to talk about. So he disagrees with Rav Ashi. Elohochi Diag Taima de Gireh Peshat Mita Lav Tsarota Vzuhi Nachrit Muteret. Ava Meit Sheni Ze Achar Rishon. If Reuven dies after Levi had passed away, Velo Gireh Adishto, and he never divorced his wife. Vafilo Kinesa to Nachrit, and he never married Chana. Asura, that is asura, died sarat achotisha b'zika, v'afilu b'shat mita. At the time that Reuven died, she was still a zika to Reuven. So b'zika at mita, when Rachel became available, that was when Chana was also available through the zika. Tekevet sheyesh zika, ha'ilu k'ilu ba'ab af mikoach ha'sheni. Since there was a zika here, it's as if he bought this woman, Chana, came from Levi and from Reuven together. So if you say now that whenever there's a zika, it's as if they come from both brothers, have you eshet bet metim? Forget about achayot. Why do you need sisters in the picture at all? What happens if Reuven was married to another woman, not related to Leah? He was married to Noah. And then Levi passes away and Chana becomes a yivama. Then Reuven passes away without anything. There, in that instance, Reuven now had a zika to Chana. But Levi also was the husband of Chana. Chana should be restricted, nothing to do with sisters, but similar to the fact that both Reuven and Levi had an attachment to her. Levi because he was married to her, and Reuven because of the zika. Lohi, that's not true. The zika shnei rabim dasira leta midoraita. That doesn't exist. This idea of zika is only a rabbinic institution. It's not a Torah institution. Below gozer rabbanan elecha da'avad ba mamar. The only time that they were goes there when there is mamar, zera shem yomru shnei yivamot abot mi bayit echad mi tiyavamot. That's the only case. But here where there's a sister involved and there's an erva involved, there zika becomes more important, and that's where we worry about the scenario. But without the erva involved here, just the fact that there are two brothers here and there's a zika to the one brother plus the original brother, that doesn't make it problematic unless there was mamar performed which reinforced that zika, and then the mamar brings up the problem of safek. All right, so that is the position of Rashi. Now, the girsa, you can see here, the aleph, there was another an alternative girsa, it's brought in the gra, that the girsa here was actually the rif's girsa, and the rach, and all the gonim was, that mate, v'achar kach giresh. So that the case is a case where mate, Levi dies, v'achar kach giresh, and then afterwards, he divorced Rachel. So according to Rashi's girsa, there was no divorce here, because Reuben died before he did anything. Whereas according to the gonim, this is a case where mate, Levi passed away, and then Reuben performs the divorce. V'kosh came b'meit v'lo girish. And certainly in the case that Rashi mentions, where he dies and he's not divorced. So now, there's a big machloket as to what the rif meant. The Ra'ivud, it's brought down by the Ramban, says basically what the rif meant is, Ravashi and Rava are completely in agreement. Ravashi is in the shita of Rava. Whatever Rava says, Ravashi is going to agree to. What about the fact that Ravashi before said, Zuhi li me'ute, that this is a case that excludes a case where if he divorces Rachel and then marries Chana, that that's a case where it's problematic. According to Rava, it's not problematic there because Nifila mapelet. So in that case, it's not problematic. Rav Ashi said it was problematic. Rava said it's not problematic. So that was him just fixing up this Mishnah. But in truth, he really holds like Rava, and Rav Ashi and Rava are equal. That means that Mita mapelet and whatever Reuven's status is at the moment that he dies, that's what's going to affect Chana. Also, in this scenario where there is Zika, there may be a problem. If Reuven does nothing and acts with takes no action and then dies, then he might have a problem because of the Zika. And there, Rav Ashi and Rova will agree. That's the Ravid's approach. On the other hand, you have the Rashba and the Marshal who argue about this position of the Rif. The Rashba believes it's the Mute mate, V'achar kach Giresh. It's a case where Levi dies and then he divorces. The Dafka B'Kanas. Only in a case where he was Kones. Meaning that only in a case where then he married Chana, does that present a problem. That's the way that Rava's Shita is here. The problem is that the Rif paskins Halacha like Rava, but he also brings Rav Ashi down the Halacha. So how do we reconcile the fact that he paskins Halacha like Rava, but he also paskins the Halacha like Rav Ashi? So what the answer is, in a case where Levi dies, and then Reuven performs Gerushin, and then marries Chana, that will be problematic. Even though Mita Mapelet, that case will be problematic. On the other hand, the Marshal says, no, it's just the opposite. It's only the case where he didn't marry her. There's a Gezerah Mishum Zika. Because in that case, he divorced his wife, but there was a Zika there originally, and therefore we should make it a Gezerah. But where he marries the woman, Mita Mapelet, then there is no question over here. So they argue about what the Rif meant by trying to reconcile Rav Ashi and Rova. What you see here is, at least according to Rashi, the Rashba and the Marshal, even though in the end we say Rova is in the sheet of Rav Ashi, it's not exactly that way. They still disagree, and there are cases where they disagree. The question is, what is that case where they disagree? The truth is that Rashba is similar to what Rashi says in some ways, because he's saying that once they get married, Rova would disagree in that case. Rova would disagree if they got married in the end to Chana, because Mita Mapelet, it doesn't matter when the Gerushin took place. So that's what the Rashba says is Rava's position, that the Rif is saying, no, there we pass on like Rav Ashi, not like Rava. In other cases, we pass on like Rava that Mita Mapelet. But in this one case, we won't pass on like him. That makes it sound like Rashi, which is that Rava and Rav Ashi argue about this case. The case where he actually marries Chana after he's divorced Rachel. Again, the Marshal differentiates between them, but in the other direction, the opposite direction. But again, they all say that Rav Ashi and Rava are not necessarily reconcilable over here. Whereas the Ravid thinks that in the end they all come around to say the same thing, and basically Rav Ashi says what Rava says, and he gives up his diuk from before. That was just to deal with the Mishnah, but he really believes like Rava. So machloket about the girsa, as well as how to interpret, once you have the girsa, how do we interpret what that means for Rav Ashi vis-a-vis Rava? What's the difference in their opinions? Okay, now next Mishnah. Bikulan, shayu behen kiddushin o gerushin bisafek. What happens in a scenario where there is Kiddushim or Gerushin B'Safek? Meaning that here, it's two brothers, Reuven and Shimon. Reuven is married to Chana, and Shimon is married to Leah. They are two brothers married to two independent women. If that was the only scenario, if Reuven passes away, then Shimon would perform Yibum with Chana. But Reuven is also married to Rachel, Leah's sister. But that marriage to Rachel is B'Safek. That we don't know whether it's a real marriage or not. So the problem for Chana is she supposed to perform Yibum with Shimon because Reuven's not married to Rachel? Or is she exempted because she's Tarat Arba, because he really is married to Rachel? There's a safek here. So because of that safek, you perform chalitza and not yibum with Chana. Because have to perform chalitza, maybe he's not married to Rachel and she's not exempt and not released. Maybe he is married to Rachel, so there is a problem with Tarat Arba, he can't perform yibum. So we do chalitza and no yibum in that case. The Mishnah wants to know, Ketzad, safek kiddushin. What's the case of safek kiddushin? The answer is, Zarak la kiddushin, safek karev lo, safek karev la. They're exactly 8 amot between him and his potential wife. And we know that in Rishut Rabim, Chazal were gozer that the arba amot of the individual are koneh. So his arba amot end where her arba amot begin. He throws her the kesef kiddushin and they fall down. Safek karov la, safek karov lo. We're not sure if it fell in his 4 amot or her 4 amot. If it falls in her 4 amot, they're married because her 4 amot were koneh. If it falls in his 4 amot, then they were not married. That's a safek. Then afterwards, what I don't know what happens. The money disappears, gets blown away. They can't figure it out. They don't know what happened. Safek kiddushin over here. Zeu safek kiddushin. What's the case of safek kiddushin? So this is a little different than the first case. Kata b'ktab yado. He wrote it with his own handwriting, the get. Vein alav edim. But there are no edim on the get. Yesh alav edim. There are edim on the get. Vein bozman. But it's not dated, the get. Yesh bozman. There is a date on the get. Vein bo ed echad. And there's only one aid on it. It's not his handwriting. There is a date and one aid. In all these cases, the gitin are psulin. The Mishnayot and gitin tell us that that get is pasul, but if she marries based on that get, she can stay married, and the children that are born from the second marriage are kshirim. What they're basically saying is that this get is pasul lechatchila, but kosher bidiavad. So in this case, where she has a get like this, it's a safek gerushin, because lechatchila it's not a good get, but bidiavad it is a good get. So what is the status of this woman over here? This Erva that came to marry Reuben when he was marrying Rachel, who is the sister of Leah, married to Shimon, is he divorced. He was married at first to Rachel and Chana, and then he divorces Rachel. Now, according to Rava, Mita Mapelet, so if he's divorced from Rachel at the time that he dies, Chana should be able to form Yibum with Shimon. The problem is we don't know if he's divorced from Rachel. He has a Safek Gerushin because we're not sure if this is a good get or not a good get. So those are the scenarios here. Gemara says, "V'ilu b'gerushin tzaruch karev lo safek karev la lo tani." How come the Mishnah only gives the example of karev lo with kiddushin and not by gerushin? That should be also a safek over there. My time, Amar Rabba, isha zu b'cheskat heter l'shuk omedet. This woman, by default, should be muteret l'shuk. U'misafek ata balo osra? You want to come and make her a sura misafek? Al tasrena misafek. You can't do that. In this scenario, beforehand, before anything happened, Reuven was married to Rachel and Chana, and Shimon was married to Leah. In that scenario, Chana is released without anything, because she is a tzarot of an erva. Now you have a safek that came up. Safek of the get landed closer to him and closer to her. What do you have a chazaka. The chazaka is that she is released without anything. Now mi safek, you want to come and undermine a chazaka? We don't undermine a chazaka, mi safek. Therefore, it doesn't work over here. So Abaye says back to him, wait a minute, I'm really Abaye. Rabbah's Talmud. Abaye says back to him, Yochi b'kedushim nami. But if I kedushim say the same thing, Neima isha zu b'cheskat heter li yabam omeret. Over there, before Rachel came into the picture, Chana could have performed Yibom with Shimon. Now you have Safek kedushin. You're going to take the Safek kedushin, takes her out of being a cheskat of a kosher yivama. Misafek atab alo osra. Al tasrana misafek. Why, if misafek, you're going to tell her to be a sur to the Yabam, why? There's a chazaka. The chazaka should trump against the safek. Says chatam the chumrah. What do you mean? There's a difference there. Over there, it's a chumrah. Because here we're going to say, don't perform yibum. Do chalitza and not yibum. Mar says, hay chumrah da'atilei de'ei kulahu. So Bai is saying here that, hay chumrah da'atilei de'ei kulahu. This type of chumrah is going to end up leading to a kula. Because if you say no yibum, then people are going to think that the reason there's no yibum here is because she's tzarat ha-erva. If she's tzarat ha-erva, that means that the kiddushin were a good kiddushin. And she's tzarat ha-erva. Now, what happens in a scenario that Zimnin dazahu mekadish lada achota? Reuven, before he passed away, also performed kiddushin with another sister of Rachel. Let's say in this instance, it's a sister through the mother. So she has no relationship to Leah, who is married to Shimon. In that case, if we say here that the Tzarat HaErvah cannot perform Yibum, that's basically saying that the Kiddushin of Rachel, which were a Safek, a real Kiddushin, And therefore, the kiddushin with Dina, her sister through her mother, were not good kiddushin. Or, let us say that a third party here comes along and performs kiddushin with this Rachel, kiddushin bevadai, while Reuven's still alive. Also over there, you're going to say, well, since the Tzarat Arvah Chana went and cannot perform Yibum, that shows you that Reuven is really married to Rachel. And the kiddushin of the second person who came along and gave kiddushin to Rachel is meaningless. But that's not true, because Rachel's kiddushin were safek, and that means that if Reuven also performed kiddushin with her sister Dinah, that is a safek. Or if a third party came in and performed kiddushin with Rachel while Reuven was still alive, that's also safek kiddushin, because we don't know if Reuven's really married to her. But by saying that there's no yibum over here, people are going to conclude that there is a full-fledged marriage over here, and any kiddushin that came afterwards is batel. So it's actually a chumra the ati lidei kula. Because zimna dati achar makarish lo didah kiddushin v'adai v'kem da'asul amal l'tzara l'yibumei. Since you're saying that Chana can't perform yibum over here, amrei dekama kiddushin, they're going to say that the Rachel is full-fledged marriage to Reuven, and therefore batcholav kiddushin. The kiddushin of Reuven to Dina, or the kiddushin of a third party to Rachel, were meaningless. And that's just not true. There's still a safek here. So the rabbi answers him, came into kamachot chalitza, midu yode, dechum rabamu. No, it's not that she goes free without anything. We still require a chalitza over here. She cannot perform yibum, but she has to perform chalitza. That fact that she performs chalitza and cannot perform yibum is a signal that this is a chumrah, and people know that it's only being done mitzad ha-safek. Since it's only allowed to perform chalitza, not yibum, they won't get confused over here. So, basically, you have a problem here, because if you say that we allow her to perform yibum with the chazaka in place, what you're saying is, basically, the kedushin wasn't a real kedushin. Okay, but that's chazaka versus safek. Alright, that generates some poor problems here, so we go to chumrah and say, don't perform yibum, only perform chalitza. Abaye says, well, if you let her perform chalitza, people are going to say, well, the fact that she needed chalitza also shows you that Rachel's kiddushin was not a good kiddushin. If you think that Rachel's kiddushin is not a good kiddushin, then other people who perform kiddushin, whether it's Reuven himself with her sister, or a third party with Rachel, you're going to think those kiddushin are not real kiddushin because you forced her to perform chalitza. Why do you perform chalitza? Must be because the kiddushin were not a real kiddushin. So the Gemara says, no, since you required chalitza, midi yode de chumra ba'amahu. Since you required chalitza, everybody knows it's just a chumra. Iyachi gerushinami. So do the same thing with the divorce. Litnei v'litzricha chalitza. Let us say the same thing by divorce. Say that it was karov lo, karov la, we have a safek, and we say perform chalitza and not yibum. Umidi yode de chumra ba'amahu. And everybody will know that it's just a chumra ba'amahu. And nobody will make the mistake that these gerushin were a good gerushin. So, im atamer chaletzet, mityabemet. Because if you say chalitza, then people think, oh, chalitza and yibum, it means that it's totally fine and everything's good over here and it was a good divorce. So, Begar says, hachanami, and kiddushin say the same thing. Im atamer chaletzet, mityabemet. In the case of kiddushin, you will say the same thing. Oh, if she can do chalitza, she can also do yibum. Gemara says, v'tityabem, go ahead and perform yibum. V'aim b'kach klum, there's no problem she forms there because of chazaka kakeyemet. She's still governed by the chazaka. So in the case of kiddushin, where the chazaka is to allow her to perform yibum, then if I say just perform chalitza, everybody knows that's just a chumra ba'amo, and they'll realize that the kiddushin were a safek, and all the ramifications of the fact that kiddushin were a safek. Ah, what are you going to say? Choletzet, people are going to think then you could be mitya b'emet. Okay, if she's mitya b'emet, it's not the worst thing in the world, because she has the chazaka to support her. In gerushin, it's not that way. If you say choletzet, okay, so now choletzet shows you that it's the chumra, and we know that it's a safek gerushin. But what people are going to think, choletzet, you can be mitya b'emet. Okay, so she's mitya b'emet. And there, the chazaka goes against you. Because the chazaka is that she is married to him, and the safek is trying to remove the marriage. So over there, you do have a problem if she performs yibum. And that's why the Mishnah did not give the example of safek karov la, safek karov lo by get. Because in that case, there's a safek, and that safek would leave her married. Because the chazaka is that she's married, and she would turah without anything. You wouldn't need chalitza at all. Because over there it would be dangerous to allow chalitza the chumra, because that might lead to yibum. And yibum over there would be problematic, because the chazaka says no yibum over there. Okay, we'll stop over here. Six lines down on Lamed Aleph, Amud Aleph. Abaye is going to continue questioning this approach of Rabbah, but it continues down the Amud, so we'll stop over here.